Jake walked on, the street signs floating past in a kind of dream daze. Between 49th and 48th, he passed a store called Reflections of You. He turned his head and caught sight of a dozen Jakes in the mirrors, as he had known he would. A dozen boys who were small for their age. A dozen boys dressed in neat school clothes. Blue blazers, white shirts, dark red ties, gray dress pants. Piper School didn't have an official uniform, but this was as close to the unofficial one as you could get. Piper seemed long ago and far away now. Suddenly Jake realized where he was going. This knowledge rose in his mind like sweet, refreshing water from an underground spring. It's a delicatessen, he thought. That's what it looks like anyway. It's really something else, a doorway to another world. The world. His world. The right world. He began to run, looking ahead eagerly. The light at 47th was against him, but he ignored it, leaping from the curb and racing nimbly between the broad white lines of the crosswalk with just a perfunctory glance to the left. A plumbing van stopped short with a squeal of tires as Jake flashed in front of it.
Hey, what are you? What are you?
The driver yelled, but Jake ignored him. Only one more block. He began to sprint all out now. His tie fluttered behind his left shoulder. His hair had blown back from his forehead. His school loafers hammered the sidewalk. He ignored the stares, some amused, some merely curious, of the passers-by, as he had ignored the van driver's outraged shout.
Up here on the corner, next to the stationery store.
Here came a UPS man in dark brown fatigues pushing a dolly loaded with packages. Jake hurdled it like a long jumper, arms up. The tail of his white shirt pulled free of his pants and flapped beneath his blazer like the hem of a slip. He came down and almost collided with a baby carriage being pushed by a young Puerto Rican woman. Jake hooked around the pram like a halfback who has spotted a hole in the line and is bound for glory. "Where's the fire, handsome?" the young woman asked, but Jake ignored her, too. He dashed past the paper patch with its window display of pens and notebooks and desk calculators.
The door, he thought ecstatically. I'm going to see it. And am I going to stop? No way, Jose. I'm going to go straight through it. And if it's locked, I'll flatten it right in front of me.
Then he saw what was at the corner of 2nd and 46th and stopped after all. Skidded to a halt, in fact, on the heels of his loafers. He stood there in the middle of the sidewalk, hands clenched, his breath rasping harshly in and out of his lungs, his hair falling back onto his forehead in sweaty clumps.
No!
He almost whimpered.
No!
But his near frantic negation did not change what he saw, which was nothing at all. There was nothing to see but a short board fence and a littered, weedy lot beyond it. The building which had stood there had been demolished. XVI. Jake stood outside the fence without moving for almost 2 minutes, surveying the vacant lot with dull eyes. One corner of his mouth twitched randomly. He could feel his hope, his absolute certainty, draining out of him. The feeling which was replacing it was the deepest, bitterest despair he had ever known. Just another false alarm, he thought when the shock had abated enough so he could think anything at all. Another false alarm, blind alley, dry well. Now the voices will start up again, and when they do, I think I'm going to start screaming. And that's okay, because I'm tired of toughing this thing out. I'm tired of going crazy. If this is what going crazy is like, then I just want to hurry up and get there so somebody will take me to the hospital and give me something that'll knock me out. I give up. This is the end of the line. I'm through.